Good morning.
Morning.
How good it is to be here this morning. So grateful to have everyone here. As we start, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful opportunity to gather here and worship you. We just ask as we come together that we give up everything, that everything that we're dealing with, all the stress that we have in our lives, with the weather, the family, and all the preparations that we are about to make, let's just let them be for this time. Let us only focus on you, focus on the worship, on praising you and lifting you up and thanking you for all that you do. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now let us stand and sing Mighty to Save, and it'll be presented on the screen. Amen. Shine your light. Let the whole world see. This is why we are here. We are here to worship God. We can't come here just thinking we're playing church. And let's remember that as we sing the next song, Blessed Be Your Name. Amen. Just wanted to share a verse from my devotional this morning out of Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Let us keep in mind how unique we all are when we think about all the good things, all the talents we do. No one was created exactly like you are. And God has a role for you to fill. And keep that in your mind as we sing 10,000 Reasons. Amen. Amen, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come here to just worship you. We ask that our lives be changed by your word, that our hearts, our minds are opened to the words that are going to be presented, that we may absorb them in order to change our lives, in order to be molded into the role that we are ought to fill. And may we go forth into this world, spreading what we've learned, spreading the love to grow your kingdom. And we ask just for a blessing over this service. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Just want to highlight a couple brief announcements before we continue this time of worship here this morning. If you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, we have the gifts for the angel tree in the fellowship hall. If you've taken a ornament or a tag from the tree, they are due today. And so, Tina, I don't know what's the latest they can get those back after service. Okay, all right, so if you've taken a tag, we need those gifts wrapped so that we can get those distributed, I believe, on Tuesday or whenever. So make sure they get out there underneath the Christmas tree in the fellowship hall. Also, if you are here and you have a heart for kids, we are in need of workers for the nursery as well as Sunday school. And if you would be interested in serving within the nursery, you can see Julie Seif. She's right there. And then Sunday school, you can talk with Amy Fruth, Val Miller, or you can even talk with me if that would need be. The last announcement we're going to highlight here is next Sunday is Christmas Eve. We will have normal worship services in the morning at 10:30, and then we will also have a candlelight Christmas Eve service next Sunday at 5 p.m., and that is listed on the back of your bulletin. Faith's Christmas Eve service will be at 7, with special music going on, 6:30 to 7. So if you're unable to make it at 5, we invite you to head down to Faith, but we sincerely hope that you are able to make it here at 5 p.m. next Sunday evening. So outside of that, let's turn our attention to the lighting of the Advent candle. Now friends, this is the Advent season. Advent means anticipation of coming. And so over the 4 Sundays prior to Christmas, we prepare our hearts in anticipation for the birth of Christ. This week we are celebrating the joy that Jesus ushers into the world, and the joy, the unspeakable, indescribable, the unfathomable joy. Jesus in John 15 said, I have told you these things so that you may have joy, but not just any joy, that your joy would be complete. And so our hope this year is that you would embrace the joy that the Messiah has brought to us. And there are ways that we will know how to embrace that joy. We'll get into that a little bit later. But as we light the third Advent candle on the wreath, the pink candle, let us remember the joy of the infant Christ, the babe Jesus. Gracious God, we thank you for your joy. We thank you for the bundle of joy that you sent to this world. His name's Jesus. We thank you, O Christ, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for yearning to commune with us. Jesus, we pray that that would give our hearts and our minds and our souls joy, unspeakable joy, the indescribable joy that is not from this world. And may we embrace that joy. We thank you, O God. We bless you now in the wonderful name of Jesus, the Christ child, we do pray. Amen. Let us turn our attention now to the reading of God's word.
The reading this morning is from Matthew 2, 1 through 10. And if you're using the Pew Bibles, it's 1497, 1497. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the chief priests, people's chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod heard the wise men secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was, where they saw the star. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. This has been the reading of God's word. Ushers may come forward, and Children's Church is dismissed.
Kind and ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As for those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Years ago, when I was a young lad, I would go down with my sisters down to my grandmother and grandfather's house, and typically it was around Thanksgiving time. Sometimes on Thanksgiving Day, this would take place where my grandmother would want to get out the Christmas decorations. And so we would all go up to the attic, and we would pull box after box after box out, and then we would begin to put up the Christmas decorations. Interesting thing is you got to understand that my grandmother was one that loved all kinds of detail. And so it was not just the simple decorations, it was not just the decorations that would be enough, but it was decorations for decorations for decoration's sake. Now, I love my grandmother. She was a blessing to me when she was alive. And yet, when we got to the Christmas tree, the interesting thing was is that sometimes you would think a couple hours and the tree's up. Sometimes it took days. That's no exaggeration. Start bottom all the way to the top. So when I was a young boy, I got to the point where I wanted to be the one to pull the star out of the box, right? Not so much so that I could put it at the top of the tree, but so that it represented to me that we were done. Put that star on top of the tree, and then I can go off and do whatever I wanted to do, whether that was, you know, go down in the basement, play in a sandbox, or watch TV, or what have you. But that star, friends, meant to me that we were complete. It was finished. It was done. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, basically because of those experiences, I believe that I have tended to go more towards being simple. I'm not one to care about a whole lot of decorations because I believe that it blurs the reason for Christmas. This morning we're going to talk about the star. The star represents joy, and for years I missed the meaning of the star. And I'm going to share with you truly the meaning that God has for us in the star. And it's the same meaning that he gave to the wise men some 2,000 years ago. And it's a meaning for you and for me in Christmas time 2017. It's a meaning we can hold our hat on. It's a meaning that we should look to come to fruition and fulfillment each and every day of our life. You see, sometimes I think when we think of the star of Bethlehem, we think that that was a one-time event. And that may be true in that occasion. But God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and how he operated when Jesus was born is the same as how he wants to operate in your life and mine. Today is the day that we celebrate the joy that Jesus ushered in, the joy that the Magi, the wise men, that they were filled with, they were overjoyed. Now let me explain something. Joy is not happiness. Happiness and joy are incompatible. Happiness is based upon what happens in this world. Happiness is based upon our circumstances and situations. Happiness is based upon where we go, what we do. Joy is not from this world. You see, the biblical definition of joy is an inner calm delight that isn't dependent upon the externals. You see, I believe that what God was saying in this star that represents the joy, that evoked the joy from the wise men, it represents the same thing for you and for me. It represents God breaking into this world in the babe Jesus. And that should represent the same for you and for me in our lives, friends. We should represent the joy and experience how God wants to break in your life and mine. You see, that truly is joy. Last Sunday, we sat down, I did, with Greg and Nick. And Kathy will attest to this. I've had a difficult week. Seems like every Christmas season, I have difficult weeks. Now, it has nothing to do with the season or the taxing amount of things that I have to do. I truly believe it has to do with what our society has made Christmas into. And we have blurred the reason for why we celebrate Christmas. And the reason why we celebrate Christmas has to do with the joy of God breaking into this world in the form of Jesus, the Son of God, your Savior, mine, the one who is resurrected from the dead. And see, until we get back to there, you nor I will ever have joy in the true biblical sense. You and I will have a raw, putrid form of happiness in this world, and it will all depend upon who we're with and what we're doing or where we're going. You see, there's nothing in this world when we allow God to break into our life that can take away that joy. And so when we think of the star, my challenge for us is to not miss it. To understand that true biblical joy does not come from this world. It comes from the eternal heavens. It comes from God ushering in. And remember with me, if you will, that Jesus, before he was crucified, he told the disciples, he said, "Hey, if I go, I will send another," meaning the Holy Spirit, correct? And then we're told in the book of Galatians, I believe, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. We'll stop at the number two. Love, joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. So what that tells me is that a characteristic of God's nature consists of joy. Last Sunday when we sat down with the confirmands, the future confirmands, and we had communion with those confirmands last Sunday afternoon, it gave me a contradiction inside of me because I'm struggling all week with the nature of this season, okay? And yet what happened when I began to speak, just a short, brief couple moments, I began to have this feeling of a passion and a joy well up inside of me. Because what it is just as the star represents God breaking into the world some 2,000 years ago, God wants to break into your world. He wants to break into your heart. Sadly, we get so caught up in the busyness. We get so caught up in the do's and the don'ts. We get so caught up on, I've got to put up this decoration. I've got to put up that. And so then we push and push and push. And we can't wait till December 26th is here. And all the while, we're lacking joy. So first, we need to understand that joy is not from this world. True joy comes from the heavenlies. True joy is only given through Jesus Christ. True joy does not exist in this life. You can have joy, and it can be biblical joy, but you must allow God to break into your life and mine. Just as God was knocking on the doors of the hearts of men and women some 2,000 years ago, and the magi, the shepherds, and all those that went to the stable to worship him, God is knocking on your hearts and mine today. And the question that stands before us is, if we truly want joy, won't you let him in? Won't you let him in? Won't you let God to come into your heart? And if you will, then let him in. Because that's really what the star is all about. You see, when I was a kid, we'd lay outside on the grass and the lawn and look up in the sky at night, me and my older sisters. And we would look at the different, you know, constellations, and we would sometimes see shooting stars. And to acknowledge that a holy God, a God that is so vast and so great, would think so much of you and me that he would stoop down into human form and he would come to earth to knock on your heart. I don't know about you, but that gives me joy. I hope it gives you joy. I really do. Because not only did God stoop down onto this earth, but we're going to see in a few moments what he thinks of you and what joy you bring to him. You see, when I was preparing for this message this week, I stumbled on a verse out of the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 with you here. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Now, when I read those two verses, those words just jumped off the page at me because it's like an oxymoron. Two things that should not go together. You know, the contradiction going on in my mind. I'm thinking, okay, joy is happiness. Joy is delight. Joy is tranquility. Joy is serenity. Joy has nothing to do with the suffering, the flogging, the beating, the whipping that he endured beyond even being recognized that he was human, let alone being strung up on the cross. For your forgiveness and mine. You see, the star represents God breaking into our world. It represents God's desire to break into your world and mine. But Jesus, he thought of you, he thought of me, he thought so much of us that it gave him pure joy to see God's will, the Father's will, be fulfilled. Hear that. You see, just as if we don't open up our hearts to God, we will never experience true joy, so too is that if we never go about doing God's will in our life, we will never experience true joy. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? If we never open up our hearts to God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if we never open up our hearts, you will never have joy. You can have flippant happiness. You can have circumstances that you know, put you in places of contentment. But friends, you won't have the joy that comes from the eternals. You won't have the joy that does not exist in this world, because you can't. Because it only comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by the agent of the Holy Spirit, and in the character of the Spirit of God is joy. If you don't open your heart, you can't have joy. And if you fail to do God's will, you will never experience the fulfillment of that joy. You see, it was not the fact that Jesus was going to suffer. It was the end of the line of what his suffering was going to bring. Just this past week, I was sitting with a mom who has several kids, and they were talking with a teenager, and the teenager was asking why they would go through childbirth if it's that painful multiple times. And they shared, because of what's at the end of the road. It's that joy. You see, when you see what God is going to do, all the pain, all the suffering, it just washes away. And you see the blessing. You see of what God is doing through you. And friends, that is where true joy exists. So the questions before us this Christmas season, this Advent season, to prepare our hearts, we must ask, am I willing to open up my heart to allow God to have more of a reign in my life? To have more freedom to move in my heart, mind, and soul? And if you are, then do that. And if you're not, you'll go through the motions. And it'll become December 26th, and another Christmas season will pass, and life will go on. But interesting thing, it will be you living life without joy. It will be you living life without that inner calm delight. And so I implore you to open your heart. And how do you do that? You do that by setting aside time to meet with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the infant Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the babe Christ. Through prayer, through reading of his word, through worship. The travesty in our world is two times in the Christian year, the calendar, the January to December. People are most likely to come to church Christmas Eve and Easter. You know what the reality is? If you're only here twice a year, you're missing out. I'm just going to tell you. You're missing out. And what I want for all of you is I want God's best for you. If you're only here a couple times a year, you're missing out. You can't receive the joy of the Lord only being in the fellowship of the believers a couple times a year. You see, it's not about coming to church. It's about rubbing shoulders with our brothers and sisters who know God, who can exhort us to go further, who can encourage us to open our hearts more to the risen Christ, the Savior Jesus. That's what it's about. And if you're there, and if you are here, and you're worshiping, then I implore you to begin to seek God's will as to what he would want you to do, because Jesus, who, because of the joy set before him, he went to the cross. You see, God doesn't save us to sit. I'll say it again. God doesn't save us to sit. He saves us to get busy. He saves us to be on working for him, to share his love, to encourage others. He saves us from something, and he saves us to something else. He saves us from sin and the pit of hell, the desperate condition that we existed in, being alienated and enemies of God. And he saves us to being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's what God saves us to. And friends, you can't do that if you don't have the joy of the Lord. You can't do that because something else other than God's joy will come out of you. And I'm here to tell you, and it will not be pretty. He saved you from despair to hope. He saves you from flippancy of happiness of this life to the eternal joy. I can't explain it any more than that. He calls us to be joyful. But you and I can't be joyful on our own. You and I are only joyful in the Lord. And friends, that constitutes a relationship. It constitutes an abiding relationship. It constitutes a communion with Jesus. It constitutes a fellowship with the risen Christ. So this morning, wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, open up your heart. Open your heart to Jesus. He's knocking. He's desperately knocking on your heart, saying, "Won't you let me in?" And if you're already there, seek his face, saying, "Lord, what is your will for me?" And friends, I guarantee you, and other pastors have told me, don't speak in absolute terms, but I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, it won't be about the suffering. It won't be about the sacrifice. It will be about the joy of Jesus. It will be about the joy of the Lord. It will be about the risen Christ, and because you will just yearn to share the love that God has for you with others. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for your joy. We thank you for what the Star of Bethlehem represents, your desire to break into our lives. The same thing you've been desiring to do since the beginning of time. We thank you, O God, for your joy. We thank you, O Christ, that even though you knew you were going to suffer, even though you knew you were going to endure the scorn and the shame and the absolute worst kind of pain, it was because of the joy of seeing what God was going to do through you. We thank you, O Lord, for that. I pray for my friends, I pray for all of us that you would give us the courage to open up our hearts more, to give you more freedom in our life, to open up our minds, to wrap around what it is about this season, this time of year. And Jesus, I pray that you would find us all to be faithful and obedient, looking to you, that we truly might seek to do your will in this world, in this village, in the surrounding areas. And we're going to thank you, O God, for we know that you will bless us with joy, unending, unspeakable, indescribable joy, joy that comes from the heavens. We thank you, O God, in the wonderful name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Before we close, we have a gift, one per family. We have little stars over there by this door, and so make sure one per family. And I would encourage you all to take those home and either put them on your Christmas tree or put it on your refrigerator. And may it be a reminder that God is knocking, friends. He's knocking on your heart, saying, "Won't you let me in?" And once you choose to let God in your heart, won't you begin to seek his will for your purpose in this life? And I know, you, my friends, will find the joy, the unspeakable joy, the unfathomable joy, the indescribable joy that only exists in the heavens. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may the joy of the Lord be your rear guard and your front guard. May the joy go before you and adorn your very being. May you exemplify what Jesus means by experiencing his joy to the full. May you go in peace. Amen.